This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Behold, Lord, us, empty vessels that need to be filled. Lord, fill us. We are weak in the faith, strengthen us. We are cold in love, warm us. And make us fervent that our love may go out to our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those prayer words come to us from Martin Luther. And as we sang the song for which he wrote the lyrics to begin our service today, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, we join with our Lutheran brothers and sisters who celebrate Reformation Sunday, this particular Sunday of the church year. The story of Martin Luther historically makes a point about one of the important things in these great commandments that we are given. You have heard me speak often about these two commandments as really being three. Love God, love your neighbor, as you love yourself. Those three are the greatest commandments. Jesus makes it clear with the people he chooses to put on an equal plane with everybody else, with everyone that he meets, from the lowest to the highest, from the holiest to the most sinful, that they are lovable. And there is no way that we can love God or love our neighbor if we do not have that keen awareness of the giftedness, of the belovedness that each of us is and has. You get a note from me and you always get it signed off LLL. And that's really what it stands for. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. I give great credit to my dear deceased mother-in-law, Mommy Dot, who always just said, love, love, love everybody. Especially when people weren't getting along. How Martin Luther fits into this is, on Reformation Sunday, we recall now 503 years ago when he posted those 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg, because it had to do with a mistaken idea about our lovableness and how grace-filled we are. There was this abuse going on in the church of selling indulgences, basically selling God's grace. And God's grace is not for sale, because it is freely given to all of us. And so, truly, the mark that he leaves us with is an understanding of God's grace, abundant, never-ending, limitless for all of us, because we are all God's beloved children. So that's where we start. So now we get to these other commandments. Now, I think we know that Jesus was not inventing something new when he talked about those two commandments, really three, because they are in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's there in those two books. The unique teaching of Jesus is inextricably linking them together, that you cannot do one without doing the other two. This is the gift that Jesus gave us. They had many people who talked and asked that particular question. And of course, there's questions going on in the gospel today. There's that great story told about the professor who comes in for the final exam, and he says to the student, it's an oral exam, I can ask you one difficult question or ask you 10 easier questions. Which do you want? And the wise lady student says, ask me the difficult one. And the professor says, what comes first, day or night? And she thinks for a while and she says, the day comes first. And he responds, and why would you say that? And she says, nope, you said only one question. This is sort of what's going on with the banter with Jesus, these different questions, as we hear Matthew telling us. They're trying to trick him. They want to get him into trouble, and he's just too smart for them. But the question about the greatest commandment was nothing new. Why? Because they had 613 commandments that were meant to be followed. 365 of them that of things you weren't supposed to do, and the rest were things you are supposed to do. I've got them all right here. So I thought we would spend a little bit of time today talking about these 613 things that we are supposed to do and not do, and we'll take them in... Where am I going to start? Jesus tells us that you don't have to memorize those things. Because if you do the three that he's talking about today, you will do all of this and then some. No offense to those who honor those 613s, because we do as well, because they are all contained and then some in what Jesus tells us today to do. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we've looked over the years at different ways that this comes into our particular life. One of the ways I think we've emphasized over and over again in this time of pandemic is Jesus really gets at not what we would call just the golden rule, but the platinum rule. Golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus calls us to take it to the next level. Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. It becomes so important for us to get beyond ourselves so that we are doing that which will be perceived and respected in the best way possible by those on the receiving end. It calls for us to go out of ourselves and to think more of others in that regard. This is what Jesus continues to do. He even will ask people, what do you want? I want to be healed, Jesus. Okay. There are so many ways we're called to do that. And just practically, I mean, just wearing these masks and social distancing and all those things that for some can be considered such a difficult thing, just think about that other person. If you can't think about yourself and your discomfort, think about that other person. Now, I want to talk a little bit today. I'm going to pick up our 613. I want to talk a little bit today about Moses, because this is an important story that we just heard about Moses' life. Now, we remember the story of Moses. I think we've seen the movie if we haven't studied it in Bible study or in our particular vacation church camps. Here we have this guy, he's born. The emperor had said that all of those firstborn Hebrew males should be killed. So they placed him in a basket, place him in the reeds in the water. The ruler's wife takes a liking to him. He ends up going back to his birth parents to be taken care of, God protecting him. He gets a royal education. He ends up, after 40 years, seeing an Egyptian slave being mistreated, so he kills the person mistreating them. So he has to go into exile. He goes into the desert for 40 years. God speaks to him in a burning bush at some point. We go through all of that. We go through all of his unwillingness and unwanting to follow God, yet he does. God gives him his brother to help him. He takes the people out into the wilderness for another 40 years. And in the story today, he gets to the ripe age of 120. And after all of that, they're getting on the very brink of entering the promised land. And what do we hear in the story today? Moses, you're not going in. You are not going to see the fulfillment of when we get to this land of Canaan. Can you imagine what that would be like? Well, it calls us, as we are thinking about how we're to respond to these greatest commandments, to perhaps understand our role in all of this. To make that point, I want to digress for a minute. I took a class online for 6 days about strategic planning, ministry tools, and all that. Supposed to do it in person, but because of the pandemic, we're all living on Zoom, aren't we? So from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 6 days, you're looking at your computer screen. Well, they start the day with a meditation. And they chose to tell the story that we had in our scriptures a few weeks ago, where Moses goes up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and it's taking longer than the people down below wanted it to take. And we all know the story of the golden calf. They start collecting all their gold. They make the golden calf while Moses is delayed up on the mountain. And finally, he comes down and we have that big mess, don't we? What happened when we were doing this meditation is this. The leader didn't tell us what we were supposed to do. So she read the passage to us all. And the idea was we were just to sit and meditate and think about it for 5 minutes. But everybody's Zoom screen is on. And without giving instructions, there wasn't much meditating going on. I saw people eating their breakfast, people drinking their coffee, people playing on their phones, people answering their phones. And it was like, you know, if they only knew that we were just supposed to wait and think and meditate, maybe they would have had a better reception when he came down the mountain with the tablets. Now, I tell you that story because when we think about Moses' role and our role right now, we're out there in the wilderness. And there's a very important role that God has for each one of us, just like God had for Moses and for all of those who were with him. They were experiencing change. Change is a transactional event. Change has happened in our world. It has happened. But the question becomes, how are we going to proactively transition and deal with that change so that we come out on the other end, whether we are called to enter into the promised land eventually or not? This is a wilderness time for us. And there are incredible opportunities for us. Moses was called to take them out of their old existence, which they did. And the sea closed up on them. It was almost like that explorer coming and burning the ships after they arrived in the new country because there's no turning back. And our world, let's face it, is not going to be the same. Our church is not going to be the same. But it can be better if we are willing to look for the ways God is calling us to transition. Look at what happened with the blessing of the animals here. Just a brainstorm. Let's do a drive-through since we can't do it here. We had more people show up from the community who had never been here before because we did something different that reached out beyond ourselves to help others. Many of you have helped with our ministry at Holy Redeemer in ways that I think we never thought were possible for us to be able to do. We've gotten grants from United Way, grants from Children's Services. Many of you have been over there to help as you are able, and we have been feeding so many people as a result of an expanded ministry that reaches out. You talk about not just dealing with change, but transitioning. This is our call. God has given us this time, just like he gave to Moses and all of those people, time that they had to step back, time that they had to live in this liminality, as we would call it in the pilgrimage vocabulary, of really not knowing where the destination is going to lead or when we're going to get there, but to know that no matter what, we have an incredible opportunity to continue to meditate and look within so that God is going to enable us to reach out and make a difference in our world. There's one small way that you can participate in that this year. You know, no matter what God is calling us to do and to become, it's based on who we are, what our gifts are, and what we value. And so we are doing these little testimonials this year for our stewardship drive. And Charles is working and inviting people to tell a story or an anecdote. What's special for you? Tell us a story about something about St. Joseph's in your life that is special for you. And the important part of that is understanding what is that underlying value that's being expressed. Because what's important to us is going to be what enables us to go out and make a difference for the world. For 40 years, those people in the desert had to be thinking about what really mattered. And when they got to that promised land, they were pretty well set up to move forward. This is our call too. I don't know when this will end. I don't think any of us do, regardless of what others might tell us. But already we're transitioning. And we need to continue to look deep within and pray to God for wisdom and discernment that we will have those inspirational thoughts so it can lead to inspirational actions that make a difference for our world. I ran across a story that my friend John Claypool always tells in regard to this particular gospel. And I want to share that with you all as we conclude. The parable is set at the beginning of history. There are four angels standing there at that incredible moment when God decided to be the generous one. Now, when God decided to share life with others, the process began, and those four angels were overcome with awe. They stood and watched something come out of nothing. Creation sprang straight from the hand of God, and they were overwhelmed with marvel, but finally they found their voices. And the first angel said, "God, what you're doing is so beautiful. How do you do it?" And the first angel said, "How do you do it?" And this angel became the patron of all science, inquiry, scholarship, exploration. The second angel was equally awed and said, "God, what you're doing is so incredible. Why are you doing it?" And according to the parable, this angel became the leader of all philosophy and theology, the disciplines that try to probe the mystery. The third angel was also awed. He was affirmative of what God was doing, but his response was markedly different. He said, God, what you're doing is magnificent. I want to possess it. And with that, he fell from the sight of God and took creation in his own hands as if it were his and began to do with it what was rightly God's and became the patron of all arrogance, destructiveness that makes up the story of history. But then there was a fourth angel. The fourth angel witnessed everything that had happened, what God was doing. Oh God, what you're doing is magnificent. Can I help you mend it and bring it to the fulfillment that you've always wanted? And that, according to the parable, that angel is the patron of all redemptive and saving activity. We're called to be that fourth angel. We need to continue to ask God, I want to help you mend it. I want to help you bring it to the fulfillment that you've always wanted. It starts with loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself. But as we continue in this wilderness, may we continue to open ourselves to the transitions that God is calling us to, that will enable us, even if in the end we don't end up going into that promised land, we'll be standing on the top of the mountain, watching it happen, and smiling. Amen.